Let's just commence, please, with a word of opening prayer. Still our hearts before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come into thy holy presence this morning. And, O God, we thank thee for thy goodness and for thy mercy. We pray, Lord, you'll help us, you'll aid us this morning as we come, Lord, to worship thee. May we truly know what it is to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord, as we sing thy praise, as we hear thy word. Lord, do our hearts good, we pray, in the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to commence by singing the words of Psalm 113. Psalm 113, praise ye the Lord who serve the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord's name, praise the Lord's name. Blessed let it be from this time forth always. We'll stand together as we sing this opening psalm of praise, please. Let's stand to sing. Let's come before the Lord again, please, in a word of prayer. We come to praise the Lord, and we do that not just through our praise, our preaching, but also through prayer. And so let's come to Him and seek His face in prayer this morning. Eternal God and our Father, we come into Thy holy courts this morning. We come, O God, to lift Thy name on high. We come, O God, to praise Thee. We come, O God, this morning to acknowledge that Thou art God, and beside Thee there is none other. We come, O God, to exalt Thy great name, to lift Thy name on high. And Heavenly Father, we rejoice this morning that Thou art God. We thank the Lord today that while many will worship a God they do not know, Lord, a God made with their own imaginations or perhaps their own hands or man's inventions. We thank the Lord today that we worship the true and the living God. We come, Lord, to the one who is exalted high above all, who is lifted, Lord, far beyond, Lord, this old earth. Lord, who is right now seated at the Father's right hand in glory, the one who is the sovereign potentate of all time. Lord, we thank Thee today that we come into Thy presence. Lord, with this wonderful privilege, Lord, to call Thee our Father. And Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee, we do so realizing that the only way that we can is through our Savior, Thy blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who there on the cross of Calvary died for us, gave His life that we might have this access to Thee in prayer. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for Thy goodness and for Thy mercy. We thank Thee, Lord, for ever reaching down to lift up sinful wretches such as we. Lord, we can never begin to understand it. Lord, we can never fully comprehend, Lord, why You should love us. Why, Lord, You should send Thy Son into this world to live a life of rejection and rebellion. Lord, those who hated Him, those who scoffed Him, Lord, those who despised Him, those who rebelled against His preaching and against His word. And yet, O God, He loved us. He came into this world to die on a cross in order to save us from sin. O God, we pray that today You'll help us to love Thee more. Help us, O God, today to have that greater love and that greater desire after Thee. When we consider all that Thou hast done for us, Lord, help us to love Thee more. And Father, we pray that You'll help us even this morning as we come to this time of worship to worship Thy name, to lift Thy name on high, Lord, even through our singing, through the reading of the Word of God, Lord, through the preaching of that Word. We pray, Lord, that Thy name will be lifted on high this morning. O God, we need Thee. Come and be one of our number. We thank Thee for all we have been enabled to gather in the house of God this morning. We thank Thee, Lord, for the health and the strength You've given to us. We thank Thee, Lord, that we're here. And Heavenly Father, we pray that today You'll help us to worship Thee. Help us, O God, to praise Thee. Shut out the things of this world. We pray, Lord, that for this time, Lord, every wandering thought will be brought into captivity. And Lord, that we'll know that we're in Thy presence. O Lord, hear and answer prayer. Remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us this morning. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell. Lord, those in their own homes at this time, draw near to them. Touch them, O God, we pray. Remember especially our sister Jennifer this morning. Draw very near to her. May she, Lord, know Thy presence and Thy peace that passeth all understanding. Lord, uphold her, O God, with those everlasting arms. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll remember all of the family at this time. Pray for Tom. Pray, Lord, for the children and the grandchildren. Surround them with Thy love and with Thy perfect peace. And Lord, we pray today as well for those who have grown cold. Lord, for those who have gone away from the things of God. Lord, for those who no longer come to the house of God as once they did. Lord, speak to the wandering hearts, we pray. Lord, we pray that You'll run after those, Lord, whose love for Thee has grown cold. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll restore unto them. Lord, bring them back to the Father's house. For Lord, we thank Thee that there's mercy there. We thank Thee, Lord, today that there's forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. And O God, we pray that You'll come and cleanse our own hearts. Purge us, O God. Remove us of every stain of sin. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might have clean hands and a pure heart as we would come into Thy presence. Hear and answer prayer for us. Remember, Lord, the going forth of Thy word. Lord, this day in this house, remember the word that has already gone forth to the boys and girls and to the young people. Bless that word. Remember the word that will go forth over in Hollywood this afternoon. Bless the children there. Lord, we pray again for the gospel tonight. Come up with us. Oh God, we pray for the hand of God to be at work. May we see signs following preaching of Thy holy word. Our Father, we pray today You'll bless, Lord, those who are ministering in the Word at this time. Bless every faithful herald of the cross. Encourage them, we pray. Remember especially, Lord, our brother Matthew. Lord, as he would commence his ministry there in Limavady this morning, be with him. And Lord, we pray that You'll give him many precious souls for his labor there. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless him in the mainland, in England, in Scotland, in Wales. Think of our brother Philip again this morning. Encourage him. Bless him, O God, we pray. We think, Lord, of those who are serving Thee in far-off lands. We think, Lord, of our sister Joy. We thank the Lord for what we heard on Thursday night past of the work of God there in Nepal. Bless Thy servant. Bless, Lord, the churches there in that land. And Lord, we pray that You'll remove all these restrictions upon them, Lord, at this time, Lord, by a wicked and evil government. And Heavenly Father, we pray that there might be many signs to follow the going forth of the Word of God, even there in Nepal. Bless across every mission field. Lord, bless across every nation of this world. Lord, remember the persecuted church. Remember, Lord, those who, Lord, who do not have the privileges that we have. Strengthen their faith and encourage them at this time, O God, we pray. Draw near to us this morning. Hear and answer prayer. And Lord, we pray that thy name would be glorified in everything that would be said and done in this place. In the name of Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. Can I ask you to turn with me, please, this morning to the book of 1 Kings. Book of 1 Kings and the chapter 19. We commence this morning a new series in the life of Elisha. And we want to look at some opening introductory remarks regarding this man this morning as we consider the subject of pondering the prophet. We'll read from the book of 1 Kings, while it really is essentially the book of 2 Kings that we start to learn more about Elisha. Yet we want to see here the first reference that we find to him in the Word of God. And we find it in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to read from the verse 13. 1 Kings chapter 19 and the verse 13. And let's read and hear the word of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 19 and the verse 13. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be my prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him, and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen, and ran after Elijah, and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done for thee? And he returned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose, and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let me at this stage welcome you all along to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you all in the house of the Lord. We pray that God's presence and blessing will be upon us as we meet in his house this morning. So to you all, a very warm and sincere word of welcome. Also to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well this morning. Now, as a session and a committee, we want to extend our sincerest Christian sympathies to our dear sister, Mrs. Hazel Turley, and to her husband, Colin. Hazel's father passed away during the week and was buried on Friday past. And to Hazel, to Colin, and to all of her family, we extend our sincerest sympathies. And we pray that God will bless them and draw very near to them at this their time of great sorrow and loss, and please do remember them much at the throne of grace in prayer. Do remember the meetings as they are before us today and in the days ahead. We have the Sunday School over in Hollywood, the Redburn Community Centre there, 2:30 this afternoon, and we come back for our gospel service tonight at 6:30. We encourage you to come back again tonight for the gospel service and the time of the preaching of the gospel. 6:30, do you remember the prayer season as well? Before that, at 6 p.m. Our brother Sam Houston will be along tonight to sing. It's been a little while since Sam has been with us. He lost his wife since he was with us last, and difficult time for him. But we're glad that he's back on the singing circuit again, and he'll be with us tonight. So you please make sure you're here. And we're looking forward to having our brother with us as well. So this week sees the commencement of the new night for the Bible study and prayer meeting, Tuesday night. Now, it's going to get a little bit of getting used to, I know that. And if I announce Thursday night, you'll know that I'm just getting old and these things happen. But it's Tuesday night at 8 o'clock for our new Bible study, our Bible study and prayer meeting the new night. And we are starting a new Bible study course on the subject of living godly in an ungodly world. And there will be notes for everyone, God willing. And so please, if you can, join with us Tuesday night at 8 o'clock for our Bible study and prayer meeting. We'd love to see you. Maybe you've never been to a Bible study or prayer meeting. Well, why don't you start and come now? Make this new start, this new night, a new night that you'll start coming to the Bible study and prayer meeting. I trust you'll be blessed as we study the Word of God together and then as we seek God's face together in prayer. So please do remember that Tuesday night, not Thursday night, Tuesday at 8 o'clock for the Bible study and season of prayer. Friday night, that will be the monthly presbytery meeting, and that will be held this month in our Dungannon church. That's Friday night for a monthly presbytery meeting in Dungannon. Next Lord's Day, the services 10:15, our Sunday school and Bible class 11:30, and 6:30, two main services, both of those preceded by the half hour of prayer with the Sunday school in Hollywood as well at 2:30. Now, next Sunday evening is the next of our family and friends night services, and we're delighted to have our sister, Miss Margaret Russell, one of our longest serving missionaries on the mission field for almost 40 years, served the Lord in Kenya, has now retired from the work of God, and our sister Margaret will be along next Sunday night to testify and to tell of her life story. And so we encourage you to be with us as our sister comes and speaks to us. That's next Sunday evening, 6:30. And there will be supper for everyone as well. Latest copy of the Sandown Herald is available. It'll be given out to you on the way out. And also the latest set of accounts for last year will also be available and distributed to you. We're delighted and encouraged by not only the goodness of God in so many ways, but also the goodness of God financially. And the giving of God's people in this church is to be highly commended. And I say that on behalf of our session and committee. When we see our income going up by over 25%, that is tremendous. And we want to encourage you so much and thank you for your giving to the Lord's work here in Sandown. And do take a copy of that. If you have any questions or any queries in relation to that, do speak to any of the members of committee, but most especially speak to our treasurer, our brother Kyle, if you have any questions or queries in relation to the accounts for last year. We had our sister Joy Gillespie with us on Thursday night past. The offering came to £471.50. Now, if you weren't here and you would like to give to that, then please do see William or Richard, and they'll be able to help you with that. If you'd like to help and support our sister Joy, but thank you for your giving as well to the work there in Nepal. Do remember those who need our prayers. Remember especially our sister Jennifer Newbury. Jennifer was taken into the Northern Ireland Hospice this past week, and we want to remember her very much in prayer. And I know she appreciates, Tom appreciates the prayers of God's people, and do remember them very much in prayer at this time. Then we have our seniors' outing, Wednesday the 25th of May. If you haven't already put your name down, then do that today at your earliest convenience. And there is a little envelope there as well. It's in the recording room, so make time after the meeting today or this morning or tonight. Put your name on that list and take an envelope with you, and the menu choices are in that, and you can fill it in and return it back either to Colin or Hazel. They're not with us today, but if you are want to return it back, then give it to any one of the committee men on your way out or to myself, and we'll be able to pass it on to Colin and to Hazel. Do you remember that Wednesday, the 25th of May? This Saturday sees the commencement of a special mission conference hosted by the mission board of our church, and it's going to be held in our Lisburn church starting this coming Saturday, the 7th of May at 7:30, and then through the following week, Monday the 9th to Friday the 13th, each night at 8 o'clock. Now, there are these little flyers that will detail all the details of the services, who's speaking at each of the meetings, and you're welcome to attend to those. There's also a special interactive time on Saturday the 14th of May in the morning time, and again, details are there. So I'm not going to go through all those details, but they're there for you. Take that little leaflet with you, and do plan to attend some of those meetings if you can at all. They start this Saturday night, the 7th of May at 7:30, and then continuing Monday through to Friday of next week at 8 o'clock. And they're all held in our church in Lisburn. Do you remember the gospel mission in Dundonald? It's coming up now in just a few weeks' time. In preparation for that, there is much work to be done and a lot of ground to be covered. The leaflets, the invitations will hopefully arrive this coming week. And so we want to get those out as soon as we can. So we're starting next Monday morning, that's Monday the 9th, and also Tuesday the 10th of May at 10 a.m. Monday and Tuesday of next week. And also we will do that as well on the Thursday night of next week at 7 p.m. So Monday and Tuesday of next week in the morning time at 10, and I'll give you more details next week, and then Thursday night of next week as well at 7 p.m. And so please do that. Do remember that. Plan to help us if you can as we seek to get these leaflets distributed around Dundonald in preparation for the mission. And then there are also going to be a few seasons of prayer on the Sunday before that. That's Sunday the 15th of May, an early morning season of prayer at 7:30 in the morning, and then a further season of prayer after the gospel meeting at night on the 15th. So remember that Sunday, the 15th of May, in the morning time at 7:30, and also after the gospel service that night as well. And do plan to be with us and help us as we seek to go forward in the work of God, and pray that the Lord will bless the going forth of His Word in the mission there, the Orange Hall, Monday the 16th through to Friday the 20th of May. And let's pray the Lord will richly bless the Word of God. Christian Institute have left us some little leaflets, questions for candidates, they've entitled it, in relation to the upcoming election this coming week. You may have had some of these individuals at your doors. If you ask them any questions of morality, well, they'll soon run, most of them. And one asked me not that very long ago what my concerns were, and I started to say what my concerns were, and they started to run down the driveway very quickly. So obviously they didn't really want my vote. They certainly weren't going to get it anyway, that particular party. But do take that little leaflet with you, and pray much for the election this upcoming week. Boxes are there as well for your tithes and offerings. You can place them as you leave. We're delighted to see little Levi. Well, can't see him, but I know he's there. Well, we're glad to have him, and pray the Lord will bless him and Sophie as well. And don't worry about the noise. Don't worry about the noise at all. It's only a tremendous encouragement to hear children in the church. And if there's no children crying in the church, it means the church is dying. But it's a tremendous encouragement to hear the children in the church. And we commend all of our parents for bringing their children so faithfully to the services. That is to be commended. And the Lord richly bless you. But we're glad to see that Levi. Pray the Lord will bless him and bless you as well, Sophie. Let's turn to another hymn just now before we come to the Word of God. Hymn number 304, We're Never, Never Weary, of the grand old song, Glory to God, Hallelujah. We can sing it loud as ever with our faith more strong. Glory to God, Hallelujah. We'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Let's stand to sing.
We are never, never weary of the grace.
Let's turn the Word of God again this morning to 1 Kings chapter 19, please. 1 Kings chapter 19. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open. We'll be turning to a number of references, not only in this chapter, but in other surrounding chapters as well, as we commence the study this morning on the subject of Elisha, the prophet of power. And so let's seek God's face, please, just in a word of prayer now, as we come to His Word. And let's pray God will speak through His precious Word this morning. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee again for Thy Word. We thank Thee, Lord, this morning that we have the living Word of the living God. And, O God, we pray this morning that You'll make this Word live in our hearts. Lord, we long to hear the voice of God. Lord, we need to hear the voice of God this morning. Pray, Lord, You'll come and meet with us. Pray, Lord, You'll bless us. Remember, again, Lord, all those who need Thee in a very special way this morning. And, Lord, again, we would commit Colin and Hazel to Thee. Draw very near to them in this their time of loss and sorrow and grief. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art a friend in every stage of life. And, O God, comfort hearts that are heavy just now. And, O God, we thank Thee for the greatest comfort that we have in Thy Word. And Heavenly Father, we pray that Thy Word will comfort us, Thy Word will challenge us. Lord, that Thy Word will change us. Lord, as we start this morning, by the help of the Spirit of the Lord, to look at this man, Elisha, Lord, we pray that You'll open our eyes and that You'll teach us. Lord, that You will instruct us. So hear and answer prayer. Continue with us. Give us help now as we, Lord, open the Scriptures of truth. Give us help to preach. Give us help to hear. And Heavenly Father, we pray to this end, give us the Holy Spirit. Lord, the power of God to rest upon us. Anoint us with power from on high. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Following in the footsteps of one of the most prominent prophets of the Old Testament was never going to be an easy task for Elisha. And yet, the ministry of Elisha, as we will look at it in this series, was a ministry of tremendous impact and power for God. Yet in spite of this, we know more and we hear more of Elijah than we do of Elisha. In preparing for these messages, I discovered that there was any amount of material and books and sermons on Elijah, yet not so many on Elisha. Now, in many ways, the ministry of Elisha was different to that of Elijah, but it was by no means a lesser ministry. The Bible commentator John Butler said this of Elisha, that his ministry was a powerful ministry which mightily championed the cause and greatly displayed the power of the Jehovah God. He said that he affected emperors and empires. He held kings at bay. He stopped the attacking armies in their tracks and had dignitaries coming to his door for help. Elisha's ministry had an impact upon every strata of society. But there is one outstanding characteristic of his ministry, and that is that it was marked by power, spiritual power. Now, that is something that we will look at today, but in reality, it's something that we'll look at throughout this entire series as we come to this man, Elisha. That's why I have entitled this series, The Prophet of Power. Because you see, miracles accompanied the ministry of Elisha. Right at the very commencement, when the rivers of Jordan were parted, throughout his ministry, and even at the end of his ministry, this was a man who made an impact for God. And perhaps one of the mightiest men of God in the Old Testament who saw as many miracles, even as Moses did. And this is the type of people I believe that we need to be in this present generation. Now, we may never be Elishas. We may never have a ministry that Elisha had, but we all in our own lives, in our own homes, in our workplaces, in our businesses, we can all make an impact for God. And as we go through this series on the life of Elisha, may God give us a hunger and that desire to be the Christian that Elisha was and to devote and to dedicate our lives to the God that Elisha served and labored. By way of introduction to this series, as we ponder the prophet, I want us to see, first of all, this morning, the character in the series. The character of the series. It is important right at the very start of this series to notice some things about the character of Elisha. To notice and to consider some matters about who this man actually was. Yes, he may stand in the shadows of his predecessor Elijah, as far as his notoriety is concerned. He may not be as well known as Elijah was, but he was a mighty man of God in his own right. As we think of the character of the series, I want you to notice further here his name. And the name Elisha, of course, is very similar to Elijah. Elijah means God, or Eli is Jehovah. The Yah at the end means Jehovah. Whereas Elisha, it also means God, Eli, but the Shah at the end means salvation. God is salvation. And that is what the name of Elisha meant. And what a name to be given for the task that he was given. Because everywhere Elisha went, he went with his name. And it was that name that pointed to his Savior, that pointed to the God of his salvation. And you see, that was his message and that was his mandate, to proclaim the power of God, to proclaim the power of salvation. There'll be many miracles that we will consider in this series that Elisha did. But in everything he sought to do, it was all to point men and women to the God of his salvation. Right at the very outset, therefore, this morning, there's tremendous application for everyone who names the name of Christ. Is that not our purpose? Is that not our calling? Is that not the need of our lives, of all who profess Christ, that our lives point to Christ? Elisha, through his name, but most especially through his life, pointed others to the Lord. Everywhere he went, people knew not about Elisha, but knew about the power of his Lord. Elisha's life pointed to his Savior, the God of his salvation. And what a challenge. What a challenge. As we consider our lives this morning, does your life point to Christ? Does my life speak of the Savior? In what we do and in what we say, does the world around us see that our hope, our confidence, our faith is not in the things around us, it's not in man, it's not in governments, it's not in politics, but rather it's in the Lord? Elisha, by his name, pointed to the Lord, that his hope was in the God of his salvation. Our province, as we've already said, this week will go to the polls. But I hope and trust that no Christian who thinks that whatever might happen in this week is going to make any difference in this province. Have we not seen the failure of man? Have we not seen the failures of parties? Have we not seen the failures of governments? Don't look to the political systems of this world to change this world, but rather look to the power of the Lord. And let your life live and count for the Lord, because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters. Let your life shine for the Lord. The things of this earth, they'll fade and they'll vanish.
The only thing that will count and will last for eternity is what we have done for the Lord, not what we've done for the land. Elisha's message for this generation, therefore, was Christ. Christ and his salvation, Christ and his deliverance. And again, by his life, by word and by deed, he pointed men to Christ. He pointed men away from the fallacies and the failures of false gods and futile man. And he pointed man to Christ. By his name. The character of the series, his name. But notice something more about this character. Not only his name, but notice his neighborhood. In verse number 16, we read that he was from Abel-Meholah. Now, we don't know very much about this area. But what we do know is that it was a land that was very rich in arable crops and good for growing crops. Elisha's father, Shaphat, was a landowner, a man of some substance. We see that he had 12 yoke of oxen. And I think it may be well to assume that Elisha's father was somewhat on in years, and it was his intention, as would have been the practice and the tradition, to give the land, to give the inheritance over to his son. And that's why he sends his son out to work, because we read in verse 19 that he was out in the field plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen. In fact, he plowed with the 12th yoke of oxen. And it was in the field of service that God came and spoke to Elisha and challenged him and spoke to him about the service that he was calling him to do. The man that was to be Elijah's successor was not found in the school of prophets, but was found in the field of service. Elisha could have quite easily, I'm sure, just sat back and allowed the others to do the work. His father would have had many workers, many servants. He was going to inherit the land anyway. It was all going to be his, and Elisha didn't really have to do very much. But Elisha was a worker. He was laboring, he was working in that field of service there in his local area. And you see, there's a tremendous principle there that we ought to always remember. Because if you're not going to work in your own local area, you're not going to work in any area. God will prove you first in your own local environment. Let's bring that right into our own local church. God will prove you first in working in this church before he calls you to work anywhere else. Elisha was a worker, a laborer. Christian today, child of God today, are you a worker in the field of service? God commands and God commends hard work. Hard work while we have the strength and the ability to do it. We're to be diligent in our workplace, in our secular places of employment or business. We're not to be an idler. We're not to be a layabout. We're not just to sit back and let everything to be handed to us. Elisha could have done that, but he didn't. But more especially, we are not to be an idler in God's work. We're to be a worker in the field of service where God has placed us. One of the sad realities of the work of God is that it is always left to the faithful few. It's left to those who always work, and many others who could do something, sadly do nothing. We need workers in this local church. We need workers. We need laborers. We have an outreach plan for next week, God willing. We need you to come and help us. You can work in your own local area. You can distribute leaflets in your own local area. We need workers. We need laborers. Let me bring you a very specific place where we need workers, and that's in our recording ministry. We thank God for those fellows and girls who help in the recording ministry. But we need others. young men, young women who could help us. Do that. Connor, speak to Connor, who looks after the recording ministry. Get your name on that list. That's a vital ministry that is done there. But we need workers to do it. Will you be a worker? A laborer for the Lord? Elisha was. There's the character of this series. Elisha, by his name, pointed others to Christ. Elisha was found working in his own local neighborhood. Are you going to work for God? You going to do something more for God? We need workers, as Elisha was a worker. We see the character of the series, but I want us to see, secondly, now the context of the service. Because I want to spend a little time looking at the context or the setting into which Elisha was called to labor. And just like every other period in the history of Israel, this prophet was called to a minister not in a time of revival, not in a time when many were coming to Christ, but rather in a time of apostasy. In a time when there was much departure from the Word of God. You see, the climate and the culture was very much against the cause of Christ. Politically, it was a time of instability. The northern tribes had broken away to form two separate kingdoms. It was a time of political instability and uncertainty. And the leaders, the rulers, they were ungodly. Look at 1 Kings chapter 16 with me, if you will, for a moment. 1 Kings chapter 16 and the verse 30. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30, perhaps the most well-known of all the kings of the northern kingdom, Ahab. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And then Elisha started his ministry at a time when Jehoram, Ahab's son, probably Ahab's great-grandson, was on the throne. But look what he was like. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3 and the verse 2. 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 2. Now Jehoram the son of Ahab began to rule over Israel and Samaria the 18th year of Jehoshaphat king of Judah and reigned 12 years. And what does it say of him in verse 2? He wrought evil in the sight of the Lord. These were not godly rulers. The situation was hard, it was difficult. There was no favor, certainly, in the high echelons of society for the gospel. Politically, it was a time of instability. Morally, it was a time of great corruption. Because remember, and we made mention of Ahab, remember that the nation was still living under the influences of the wicked Jezebel, Ahab's wife. And she brought with her all of her idolatry and all of her Baal worship, and that idolatry had still infiltrated society. Baal was the god of immorality. And according to Baal worship, some of the most sensual and wicked of sins was permitted and accepted. And yet it's into this environment that Elisha is called to labor for the Lord. God's law had been set aside. The standards of God's law was removed. Everyone was doing that which was right in their own eyes. This was not a time of revival. This is not a time when people were flocking to hear the Word of God. Is that not the same today? No fixed standards. No absolute truth on anything. You can live as you like and do as you like as long as it doesn't affect anybody else. And yet you dare speak out against immorality, and you'll be hounded and you'll be hated. We live in a day when the mindset of the world has infiltrated the church. And in churches today, they are ordaining and accepting homosexuals even into the ministry, let alone into membership. We live in a day when the Church of Rome is being applauded and being accepted. We saw that this week. A minister, Presbyterian minister, in this very city, in Rome, applauding the Pope of Rome and saying that he's a follower of Christ, and yet he's applauded as a great man. You dare challenge and speak out against abortion and the abhorrence of abortion and the wickedness of abortion. You'll soon find out just how liberal people really are. We live in an age with no morals, with no standards, such as it was in Elisha's day. But here's the point. We are not to allow the darkness of the day to shirk us, the people of God, the Church of Christ, from the going forth of the Word of God. Elisha worked for the Lord in an age when the circumstances were unfavorable, were hostile. We must labor and work for the Lord, whether people will listen to us or not. That's not our responsibility. Whether it's popular or unpopular, we must work for the Lord regardless. Spiritually, it was a time of departure. If you're still in 2 Kings chapter 3, look at the verse 3 as well. 2 Kings chapter 3 and the verse 3. It says, "Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom." In other words, Jehoram wasn't going to make any changes in the sinfulness and the wickedness of his age. He was quite happy to let the wickedness that pervaded society to continue. No spiritual soundness, no spiritual truth. A general God that was preached, a God of love, but not a God of holiness or a God of wrath. It was a time of departure. In religious circles today, there is little time or little prominence given to the teaching of the Word of God. Preachers who'd rather tickle the ears of their congregations. Preachers who never warn of sin, but sadly in many instances condone and accept sin. This very day, this first day of a new month, the Lord's Day, and our city is closed to host the Belfast City Marathon. And yet I am told that there are churches along the marathon route who are hosting what they've called praise parties in order to cheer on the runners and to encourage them. The church was never called to condone the breaking of God's law, but rather to call it out. Dear Christian, today the spiritual temperature is low, but don't let that hold you back from serving and working the Lord. We have this gospel mission coming up in a few weeks' time in Dundonald, and you might think, what's the point of that? Nobody's going to come. Nobody wants to hear the gospel anymore. It doesn't matter. That's not our job. We're to go and preach. We're to go and work. We're to go and labor. Let this time of gospel preaching in Dundonald Orange Hall be an opportunity when you will seek to do something more for God, to bring people in, to do something for the work of God, despite the wickedness and the evil of this age. There's the character of the series. There's the context of the service. But finally, as we close this morning, as we bring our thoughts to a conclusion about this man, I want us to see, thirdly, that there is the capability
of the servant. The capability of the servant. And we already noticed that Elisha was working in his father's field, plowing the ground, just doing manual labor. He had no particular qualities or abilities from a human point of view that made him suitable for the task that God was calling him to do. Just plowing in the field. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 2 and the verse 9. Because I want us to consider what this man who was just a simple farm worker, where his capabilities really lay. In 2 Kings chapter 2 in the verse 9, and while we'll come to more detail on this in the weeks ahead, I believe that this is the central part and the crux of Elisha's ministry. Elijah asks him the question, 2 Kings chapter 2 and the verse 9, ask what I shall do for thee. Elijah's ministry was almost over. And he asked the question of Elisha, what shall I do for thee? In other words, Elisha, what is it that you need more than anything else in order to live for God? What is it that you need to do this work? Now, before we look at the answer, I wonder if you ever asked yourself the question, as I live for God, what is it that I need? Great ability? Great confidence? Some way to be able to speak in a great way? What is it that I need? What is it that you need in your living for God? You see, Elijah was making Elisha prioritize what was important in his life. I wonder, what is the most important thing in your life right now? Where do our priorities lie? We sing all to Jesus, I surrender all. But is our life fully surrendered to the Lord? Well, there's one acid test to see if it is or not. Wherein lay the capability of Elisha for the work of God? It lay in the response he gave to Elijah. Look at that response. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. What was that spirit? It was the spirit of the Lord. He asked for not great ability to be able to speak with the people. He asked for not great ability to be able to communicate the gospel and the word that God would give him. He asks for the power of God to rest upon his ministry. And not just for a little power, but for total power. He wanted a double portion. He wanted the unlimited blessing of God in his life. He longed for a life that was saturated and controlled by the Holy Spirit. He longed for a life that was under the influence of the Spirit of God. And folks, that's what made him capable for the work that God was going to call him to. It was the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. Elisha longed that he might experience in an even greater way the power of God resting upon him as it did on Elijah. But he didn't want to be a greater prophet than Elijah. He didn't ask for this double portion of the Spirit to be a standout prophet. No, I believe that when he asked for the double portion of the Spirit, he realized just how hopeless and how helpless he was of himself. He knew that he needed far more than his forefathers. He knew he needed far more than what Elijah had. Is that not what we need today? We hear of what the Lord has done for us in the past, what the Lord has done for our land in the past. But do we not need far more than that today? Here was a man who lived and longed for the power of God in his life.
Oh, that we might have the wisdom this morning to see our need of spiritual power. The church on its knees, we're weak, we've no voice, we've lost our influence in this world. Is it because we have lost our sense of the need of God, the Holy Spirit? Have we become so puffed up and so proud rather than humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God? We don't need programs today. We need power. We don't need church statutes. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God upon our lives and then the power of God in our land. But do we see that need? Do we long for that? God forbid that we should ever become at ease in Zion, so complacent, so content. Oh, we tick all the boxes. We start ticking boxes, all we do is become orthodox, and then after that, all we do is become dead. We need the power of God. What is it that we need for the mission in Dundonald in a few weeks' time? Not for many people to come in. May God grant us that. Not for that hall to be filled with people. God grant us that. We need the power of God to rest upon us. What do you need as you live for God? In an evil and wicked society, it is for the power of God to rest upon you. Is it not time then that we awoke to the great need of the hour? Is it not time that we awoke to the great need of our lives, of our church, and of our denomination for the power of God as it did in the past to rest upon us, not in the way it did in the past, but in a greater way? As we gather for prayer this week, will you come and join us? As we gather to do the outreach and have these seasons of prayer for this mission, will you come and join us and pray for us and plead with us that God's power might rest upon His work? You see, what Elisha was essentially saying there in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9, he was saying, it's not about Elisha, but rather it's about Elisha's Savior. He was praying, Lord, empty me of me that I might be filled with you. As we ponder this man, Elisha, as we see a man who's by his life pointed to the Lord, who lived his life for the Lord, who was enabled in his life to do great things for God. Listen, don't say it's too hard to live for God in 2022. I would say in 2022, actually, it's probably never been easier to live for God. The life of Elisha shows us that we can live for God, no matter how hostile the world may be. But are we willing to go through with God? Not to be content with some half-hearted service. Not to be content with just a little, but that God would fill us with that double portion of His Spirit, that God would take us and God would use us and God would fill us with power. And that through our lives, we would see this land impacted for the Lord. Elisha did many, many great things for the Lord. He saw the hand of God at work in a time when it seemed that God was silent and distant. And as I consider the subjects in the weeks ahead, I am more and more convinced of this great truth, that while the church may be at a low ebb, I acknowledge that, yet better days are ahead of us. God's not finished with His church. God's not finished with His work. God's not finished the going forth of His gospel. We're living in sad days. We're living in hard days. But
And I don't believe we're living in days of the end times when about the Lord's just about to return. I believe we're living in days when the Lord's about to come in great power and glory. And in the darkest day, demonstrate his power. Don't give up hope. Don't allow the devil and the skeptics and the gainsayers to say there's no hope. Don't allow the devil to whisper in your ear, what's the point in going to Dundonald Orange Hall for a week of gospel mission? Sure, nobody's going to listen to you. Nobody's going to come in. What's the point in giving out all those tracts? Sure, people will just throw it in the bin. They can do as they wish. But it's our job, our responsibility to go and win them for Christ. It's our job, it's our responsibility to go and work for Christ. Elisha could so easily have said, Lord, but sin is everywhere. No point in me doing anything. But as we'll see in this series, by the help of God and the will of God, God did great things. He demonstrated his power. You see, the truth is today, and I believe this more firmly with all my heart than ever before, that the Lord is building his church. And as I said before, when you build something, you're not taking it down, you're building it up. And the Lord's building his church today. We've got to believe it. Live in the power of that experience and go forward with that promise. The Lord says, I'll build, and the gates of hell won't prevail. God, make us men and women like Elisha was. May we be dedicated and devoted to the work of God. Live for God no matter how hard and dark the day may be. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word.